All right, thanks, Pastor James. Yeah, it's a blessing to be here and to continue our, discipleship series. Great. So, who was here last time? You get your hands up. Okay, cool. So what we want to do is we want to continue our little series, and like what we did last time, we want to try to make it as interactive as possible. There's going to be some conversations and some discussions, so please be a part of that. So, you know, last time we talked about this diagram. Okay, so we talked about this diagram, you know, it's a picture of discipleship. Do you guys remember that? Okay, great. And so we're going to go through each one at some point. Okay, so today we're going to talk about the first one, which is grounded in the Word. Okay, grounded in the Word. And the whole idea is one thing that is really critical and important in our spiritual lives is to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. All right? Grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. So before we start, I'm going to do, if you close your eyes for 1 second, everyone just close your eyes. Okay? Okay, everyone close your eyes. I see your eyes open. I'm just going to do a quick survey. So I don't want to make people feel bad. So I'm going to ask you a question. Please close your eyes. Okay, I see some eyes open. Okay. If you have read the Bible cover to cover, okay, if you read the Bible cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, I want you to raise your hand, okay? Cover to cover. If you've read the Bible cover to cover, just raise your hand. Okay, good. I see your hands. Okay, good. All right. No eyes open. Okay. Close eyes, still close eyes. If you've read the Bible, all the New Testament, okay, which is Matthew to Revelation, just New Testament, raise your hand. If you've read the New Testament. Okay, good. Close your eyes. Don't look around. Okay, good. If you have read the Bible from Genesis to the last book of, to who knows what the last book of the Old Testament is? Very good. If you've read Genesis, the entire Old Testament, raise your hand. Anybody? Okay, good. Anyone? Okay, very good. Hands down, everyone. Open your eyes. Very good. Open your eyes. Okay, great. Now, how do you think we did? Anyone? 20%. Julia says 20%. Very good. Anyone want to take a guess? Sorry? Lower than 20? Erin, you want to take a guess? 10%, very good. Anyone else want to take a guess? All right. I won't go into it, but I'll say it's around the, I can't calculate the percentages, but let's just say whenever I've done that survey in different churches and different like places I share, it's usually not very high. Okay, so out of a group like this, it's sometimes in the single digits. And here it was in the single, I'll just say it's in the single digits, okay? And I don't want to make people feel bad. This is not about making anyone feel guilty. Make sense? This is not a guilt trip, but my point is this is one of the key reasons why discipleship is so important, because God's people, us Christians, we are not engaged with the Bible, okay? We're not reading it. We're not thinking about it. Most of us in this room, we haven't read it from Genesis. We don't even know all of it. We haven't read the whole thing. And I think if you're a Christian, one of the first priorities that's really important, and again, it's not make people feel bad or anything, but one of the most important things, one of our top priorities is at least try to get it from Genesis to Revelation. Just read the whole thing. If you read 3 chapters a day, you will finish in 1 year. 3 chapters is 10 minutes. Did you know that? If you read 3 chapters a day, you'll finish in 1 year. Apparently, it takes 52 hours to read it from cover to cover. 52 hours. I know that sounds like a lot, but it's not really. I mean, when I look at how much time I've spent playing CSGO, it's in the thousands. I'll be honest, that's multiple times, and I'm not going to go again. And for me, when I first became a Christian at the age of 12, and I did this for the wrong reason. I thought to myself, oh, I'm sure I know everything. Forgive me, I was 12 years old. I thought so high. I thought to myself, I know everything in the Bible, but just in case I don't know everything, let me cover the bases and read the whole thing, okay? And I did. I read it from cover to cover when I was 13, from 12 to 13, all right? Now, ever since then, I've been continuing to open the Word of God, but yeah, I think wherever I go, when you look at, if you do that quick survey, you'll see, like, there is a huge, discrepancy in terms of people's desire, Christians, to know the Scriptures, and why we have so many, so much spiritual stagnation because of that. Okay, so today, my heart is very simple, not to just teach you stuff, but to motivate you, to move you, to push you, to do whatever I can in this, you know, next 5 hours as I talk, just kidding, to get you into the Scriptures and to understand what the barriers are and what the challenges are and give you some reasons and rationale. And you can sit here and listen and enjoy it and be like, that was nice, oh, I liked what he said. But really, I don't really care if you like what I say or not, but rather what's more important is that it moves you to action. Okay? I can't make the decisions for you. I can't act on your behalf. At the end of the day, you stand before God in judgment for your life, not me or anybody else. And I think what's really important is that we start to take ownership of our own spiritual lives. Okay? So we want to talk about being grounded in the Word. And my heart and prayer is at some point in your life, hopefully today, you make the decision, you know what, I want to read it cover to cover and just keep it really simple. I'm going to go 10 minutes. 10 minutes is almost 3 chapters. You do that every day of the year, you're done next year. You'll be like, whoa, I learned so much. And don't skip the boring bits. Do not skip Leviticus. Do not skip Numbers. Do not skip Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy's okay, it's not too bad. But do not skip some chapters. First 10 chapters of Chronicles, all names. Don't skip it. There's a reason why it's there, okay? And I hope and pray that that would be a goal. Even if you do 2 chapters, very good. 1 chapter, very good. 1/2 chapter, very good. Just take some sort of action. I know the whole thing is very thick and like very like unconquerable. I'm telling you, you break it into small bits, okay? Sorry, I've completely stuffed up my notes. But anyways, moving on. Okay, so quick quiz. Maybe I'll go through some goals first. Some goals, learn the how-tos of reading the Bible so that it's life-giving, soul-renewing, and heart-transforming. Reading the Bible isn't just intellectual knowledge. It leads to spiritual transformation. It leads to intimacy with God. It leads to so many important things for your spiritual life, and I pray that you would start to say, you know what, I want to know how to. One of the reasons we don't want to read the Bible is because we don't know how to. So today we'll go through some how-tos. Increasing your hunger. Spiritual hunger is very important in your journey as a Christian, you know. One of the marks of physical health is your hunger, physical hunger. It's a mark of, if you're a healthy human being, you will get hungry. That's a good sign. If you're sick, you have no appetite. But a good sign that you're getting better after your sickness is when your hunger starts to grow. And then equipping others. I don't want you to just learn for yourself. I want one day you're the person standing here. You're helping other people, not just, you know, myself or the pastors or whatnot. It's you can equip other people to know the Word of God. Amen? Okay, good. All right, so key outcomes. I want us to know what today we're going to talk about some obstacles that are in the way to encounter the Word of God. There are some obstacles that are in the way, and I want to talk about that very quickly. I want us to grow towards a godly posture, like a heart attitude. Sometimes when we read the Bible, some people, they start thinking, you know, the heart being transformed, it's a knowledge that puffs up. I think I know everything. I'm going to be the Bible police person. You're wrong. Oh, you've misdone that. That's not the point of it. Although you can become that way, which is not the right way to be, but the point of it is that your heart transforms. A godly attitude, you're equipped to know how to read the Bible, and you're established in spiritual rhythms, meaning you have made a decision to say, you know what, Paul, today I'm going to start first chapter of Matthew. Today I'm going to read Psalms chapter 1, and I'll just read one psalm in the morning. It takes you less, majority of psalms, probably less than 2 minutes. 2 minutes is all I'm asking for. Okay? I'm not asking, I feel the Holy Spirit is asked. Just 2 minutes. I've been going this of late. For me, one of the things I do is after I get in the morning to pray, right, and I worship, I open up the Bible and I read it and I pray what the scriptures say. If the psalm says, you know, today I read about, I already forgot. Anyways, I read something in Psalms this morning and I was praying it, something about the loving kindness of God. I read it and I'm like, Lord, I thank you for your, whatever, right? Point is, just read and learn to have a habit. So this week and last week, that's a new kind of habit that I'm trying to get into. So you maintain some rhythms, okay? If you walk away today, and right now you've already said, I'm going to make these habits, very good. You can go home. Just kidding. Don't go home just yet. But, you know, I just want, the point is, don't just hear. Don't be a hearer. Be a doer, okay? Let it move you to action. All right. So, very quickly, quick quiz. Okay, quick quiz. Okay, I was meant to bring some chocolates, but I forgot. Sorry. Just pretend I'm giving you a chocolate. Okay. How many books, you can just raise your hand. How many books are there? Okay. You're going to raise your hand, Alex. Okay. All right, you got to raise your hand. Okay, how many books in the Old Testament? Peter, you got to raise your hand. You have to raise your hand and then I call your name, okay? All right, good, good, good. Who is the son? Actually, you know what? I'm going to change it up. Who is King David's dad? Raise your hand. You guys don't understand. Raise your hand. Jesse. Yes, Alex. Jesse. Very good. Okay, how many brothers did King David have in total? One brother? Do you know how many brothers he had? How many brothers did King David have in total? Do we remember? 12? Seven, correct. Okay. So 5 passed through and then one more and then David came through. Okay. How many chapters does Genesis have? Don't Google it. Don't use the phone. Yes, Julia. Very good. Okay. So pretend you guys are getting chocolates. I'm just thinking of some other ones. I'll forget that one. All right. Who is David's son? King David's son. Yes? Solomon. Good. And who is Solomon's mom? Who is Solomon's mom? Want to raise your hand, anybody? Sorry? Bathsheba. Very good. Thank you for raising your hands, everyone. Why did the kingdom divide after Solomon? Sorry? They got what? They got invaded? No, they didn't get invaded. Not yet. Marriage people? No. Because one of the sons was too, wanted to work everyone so hard. He consulted the elders and said, you know, how should I treat the people? The elders said, be lenient towards them. But his friend said, you know, be harder than Solomon. If Solomon's, if my thumb was something like, if my waist was like Solomon, my father's pinky is like whatever. But point was, he worked everyone so hard and they divided northern kingdom and southern kingdom. What is the name of the northern kingdom? What is the name of the northern kingdom? Anyone? Israel. What is the name of the southern kingdom? Thanks, everyone, for raising your hands. How many tribes in the southern kingdom? Two. Okay, and the rest were in. Okay, very good. Thank you, everybody. Give yourselves a round of applause. Very good. Next time, I want to hear everybody's answer, All right? Other than the few at the back, okay? Thank you for responding, but I would love to hear everybody answer some of these questions, okay? All right, very good. Okay, so why is reading the scripture so important? Why is reading the Bible important? To answer questions in quizzes. Very good, Sam. That's exactly why. Yes. Anyone else? To know the will of God. Very good. Yeah, others? No more. Okay, very good. There's only one reason. That's right. Okay, so I'm just going to go through a few reasons why reading the Bible is important. And we'll go from there, okay? So firstly, it's winning the war of your mind, okay? Winning the spiritual war of your mind. Now, the reality is we have all these, the place of spiritual battle happens in our minds. And if we're not careful, if our minds are not filled with the Word of God, it's very easy that our hearts and our minds are strayed by deception, lies, etc., okay? One of the reasons why many people and some of us here, we will face the wars of the mind in terms of depression, anxiety, ungodly thoughts, is because our minds are not filled with the Word of God, okay? So I want you to imagine that I have with me this jar, okay? And in this jar, every single person, this jar could be filled with rice, okay? So if I had a jar filled with rice, and I filled it with rice, and each grain of rice represented your thoughts. You know how many thoughts you have each day? Yes? Alex has one thought. Very good. Yes? Okay. Anyone have a rough guess? Someone's Googling it, but yes? 1 trillion. Okay. Not that many. Not that many. 300. A bit more than 300. You can Google it if you want. More than 1,000. It's about 40,000 thoughts. Okay. Apparently, women have more thoughts than men. But it's around the 20 to 30,000 thoughts that come through your mind every single day. Some people, I won't mention who, have one thought a day, but the reality is those are the majority of thoughts that run through our mind. Sometimes some of these thoughts are from ourselves. Some of these thoughts are thoughts of anxiety. Some of these thoughts are not from God. Some of these thoughts are from God. If I had an imaginary jar with me, just pretend this is a jar, and every white grain of rice, imagine a picture of every white grain of rice was from the Word of God, from God, and every black grain of rice was any other thought from yourself, from the enemy, from fear, from anxiety, from worry, from concern. What would your jar look like? Have a think. Would it be filled with black rice or with a few white grains of rice, or would it be filled with white grains of rice? And you have to manage this space. If you don't read the Word of God, if you don't know what it says, you won't have any white grains to put in your jar. That's why I try to read the Bible. Even though I've read it, many times, I'm still reading it now. Shouldn't I have graduated already? What book do you read every day for the rest of your life? What book? I mean, for some of you, what are popular books that you've read that you've liked? Anyone? Read any books? Never read a book. Okay, great. I don't know. Anyone read the Harry Potter series or anything? No one? Lord of the Rings? Anyone read Lord of the Rings? No one? Okay, great. Point is, assuming you read those books, you don't read them every single day for the rest. You read them once. Oh, great. You move on. The Bible, you don't graduate from. Okay? You have to fill your mind with the Word of God. You know how much victory we would have in our minds if our jar was filled with white grains of rice? You know how differently you would feel? You would feel so different. You know how, like, your perspectives would be clear? You need the Word of God. I don't know how else to say. You need the Word of God. And the reason I've got Genesis up there is because this is the way Satan tempted Eve. It was this sense of, like, you know what the question was? Who told you? You know, oh, you can eat of any good fruit tree. And Satan's like, look at this fruit. Come on, have this fruit. It's so good. And then Eve's like, actually, God said you can't, we can't eat of this tree. We can't take it. And Satan's like, who told you that? It's like, well, God did. Thank God that she knew what God said, but it wasn't so deep in her heart that she was unwavering or uncompromising. Do you know what I mean? She said, well, God said this. So she knew what God said, but it wasn't in her heart. And then, you know, one thing led to another, and thank you, Adam and Eve, this is where we are today, okay? So the point is this: we need our minds, our minds need to be filled with the Word of God. Like, if we don't know what it says, our minds will look like black grains of rice. And our thoughts impact our feelings. If our minds are black grains of rice everywhere, if it's a whole jar, it's not the way God desires for you to live. You know, God desires transformation and intimacy and joy and life and peace. And all of that is available in Christ. The more the older I've got as a Christian, and the more I try to study the Word of God, the more I am amazed at the riches and the depth of the mercy and grace of God, but also what is available in this relationship with God. There's so much that's available, and I'm just discovering a little bit more as I read the Word of God. Okay? It's like as if there was anyone seen the Hobbit series? I was watching the Hobbit the other night. Anyways, the dwarves, right? Not to spoil it, but the dwarves have like this cave filled with gold and stuff. Okay? And it's got like literally like caves, like under a mountain. Gold everywhere. And it's like as if God has said, there's so much in this relationship, so much. I'm not saying get rich and be a Christian. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is there is so much in the riches of the mercy and the grace of God, the abundance of God, that sometimes we don't know it's there. It's there. Okay? The riches of God's mercy and grace. Okay? So win the war of your mind, because you need victory up here. We all need victory in our minds. Any questions? Okay? And knowing the Scripture is key to winning this war. Anyone know an example when the Bible was used in spiritual warfare? Sorry, Sam, could you speak a bit louder, please? When Satan, and why do you say that this was spiritual warfare in the Word of God? Why do you say that? Yes. Yep. And then how did Jesus respond? Sorry? Knowing the truth about God's word. You know, every time Jesus responds, he starts with, oh, I was hoping for like everyone would say it at the same time, it is written. Every time he responded, it is written. Okay? So the reality is, if you don't know it, you're going to be so easily strayed by not just deception and lies of the enemy, but also really bad theology, which is everywhere. Okay? So, win the war of your mind, know the Word of God, think of the jar. What does your jar look like? Okay. Maybe you can pause for a second before I go to my next point and just discuss with the person next to you, or twos or threes, and just say, hey, my jar is probably like, you know, 70% black grains of rice, man. You know, or maybe my one's 100% grain of rice. Every thought is not from God. Help me, God. You know what I mean? Just maybe have a quick discussion and then share about what your grain, if your mind was like a jar with grains of rice, share about what you think it looks like and what you hope it will look like. All right? Okay, I'll give you like 2 minutes. Okay, go ahead.
The Philips air fryer makes amazing fries.
Okay, good. All right, great, guys. Thanks, everyone. Anyone want to share what they think their jar looks like? Anyone? No? Anyone have some grains of white rice? Some people have some white rice. Great, wonderful. And hopefully we grow in that, okay? Cool. But that's why, first reason, win the war of your mind, okay? Second reason, why it's important, it's key to developing intimacy as well as maturity. You know, God wants us to know Him, to have an intimate relationship with Him, and knowing the Scripture is key to that. And also, not just that, but growing in our spiritual depth, okay? One of the most important ways if you want to grow in your relationship with God, we have a desire, oh, I want to grow my relationship with God. I want to grow my relationship with God. Great, wonderful, fantastic. You know, it can just start as simple as, okay, well, if I want to grow my relationship with God, I've got to read Leviticus, you know. I've got to read the stuff that I don't really get. And I'll tell you, reading the Bible is actually kind of boring. I remember I was on a panel once, I was moderating, and then I asked this pastor, you know, we struggle to read the Bible for ourselves. What advice do you have? And this is what he said, reading the Bible is boring the first time you read it. And he goes, but after many, many years, it becomes more and more and more and more interesting. And this guy's like the super well-known dude, okay? And my point is this, it will feel dry sometimes. It's not like every day, wow, the Lord spoke to me. Not like that at all. Maybe not like that for the first year. It might not feel like that when you go home. Paul told me to read it. Oh, okay. But I don't know what happens or how it works. You persevere through it, God starts to show you stuff in the Scripture. This is like a field. Okay, think of a field. On a field, what do you have? What do you see? Grass. Not a trick question, okay? All right, and in this field with a lot of grass, underneath the surface, there are treasures. You walk in the field, it's like, oh, it's a nice field. It's a nice field, but digging for treasure requires effort, and I tell you, there are treasures. So many wonderful things going on here. I could teach this thing all day, right? So many wonderful truths that you need to hear for yourself right now. What you need in your spiritual life or your breakthrough is right here. It's right there. God is waiting till I give it to you if you would choose to find it and to dig for it. The key to develop, like, I don't know what word you need to hear right now from God. I don't know what it is. And as much as I believe that God can speak through many different ways, and I'm all for that, I highly, highly emphasize, first and foremost, learn to hear the word of God here. When you learn to hear God's word here, you can filter through all the other ways He speaks to you. There are treasures, there are truths, there are precious gemstones in this field. And when you discover them, it's like discovering treasure. When you have them, it's like, wow, I'm starting to grow, and I'm starting to grow in intimacy. I'm starting to mature in my faith. And you'll feel it. And the funny thing is, the more you dig over time, the more treasures you find often. So I look at when I read the Bible now to when I read the Bible when I first started. I'll read it and I'll get nothing, right? Nothing. I'm just like, oh, I just read a whole bunch of names. I've got nothing. You know, oh, okay, what's going on here? No idea, move on, okay? But now, I don't know, for some reason, when I open it, it's like, it just speaks so loudly. I can't explain it. It's like the Holy Spirit just like, this is the word today, this is the word today, okay? Key to developing intimacy and maturity. Discipleship is about growing towards Christ-likeness, like we said in the first session. And what's important to that is this intimacy, this intimate relationship with Jesus. And also that we mature. Remember, like I talked about the meals? If you only had, like, if all you ate was chocolate, you're not going to get, like, a healthy, strong body, like, you know, like we have Alex and Sam and Yiren, you know, and you're not going to look, like, nice and big, you know what I mean? So you need a healthy diet, okay? And key to that is knowing the Scripture, all right? Okay, I'm going to continue. Discerning the voice and will of God. That's exactly what our friend Philip said. Discerning the will and the voice of God. So often people ask, what's God's will for my life? Has anyone wondered what's God's will for your life? Anyone? Raise your hand if you've ever thought about that. 3, 4, 5 people. Wonderful. So good. I'm sure many of you have. You just don't want to raise your hand. I can tell you right now God's will for you. You don't need to. I can tell you right now. Know this. Know this. That's what it is. God's will for you is to read the Word. Simple as that. What is God's will for my life? Oh, I want direction. Oh, I want to know what school to go to. I want to know what relationship to get into. I want to know what course to go through. They're all legitimate questions. But sometimes we skip over the bit that helps us know those answers, that tutors our mind, our will, our soul to make those decisions. And that process is knowing the Word of God. It's like knowing this tutors your heart. Anyone been into tuition before? Wow, in a room full of Asians, one person went to tuition. Great. I'm sure like 80% of you went to tuition, okay? Tuition, you learn stuff. It trains your brain to get a higher ATR, like an ATAR score, you know? So you can become lawyers and doctors and dentists. I understand the Asian way, all right? Or engineers, for example, okay? Your soul needs to be tutored. And the Word of God will tutor your soul so that you know how to make decisions concerning the will of God. Okay? Make sense? Discerning the voice and will of God. Okay, I want to share a story with you. I remember when I was buying my house, my apartment in just recently, and I just had a bad feeling the whole time, something was going to go wrong on the day of the settlement. Okay? My bank manager first tells me he stuffed up the numbers for the stamp duty. Okay, number one. Number two, my title deed, which I needed to get a higher loan. Don't worry, just money stuff. I'm sure some people understand. The bank lost the title deed. That was the day settlement means you pay the money to the owner so you can buy the house. So on the day of settlement, guess what? Nothing is going to happen. I won't say which bank I was with. They stuffed it up completely. It wasn't NAB, okay? I'll just say it wasn't NAB. But if it was Alex, I would definitely make publicly shame NAB. No. Now, how do you think I was feeling? Angry, anxious, absolutely. And this was the Monday, okay? Monday. Friday, they told me they stuffed up the stamp duty numbers. And then on the Monday, when you're meant to settle, the bank settles with the lawyers from the other party. Sorry, we can't find the title deed. We can't approve the loan. What, you told me it was already approved. Oh, we lost it in the mail. Oh. Anyways, that was the Monday. On the Tuesday, I'm in a coffee shop with my wife, and I guess what I do? I open up the scriptures. Lord, please speak to me. Help me, God. And I just so happened to open up Psalms 105. And it says this, to you I will give a land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. Now, that passage is not about Paul Shee buying an apartment, okay? Let's be very clear here. It's not about that. That passage is about God giving a piece of land to Israel, but it also has spiritual implications. But I wrote next to that passage, on the 24th of September 2021, I wrote here, a present promise of God. I felt as if God was saying to me, and I say the word I felt, not God definitely did, but I felt. 24th of September, 2021, God was saying, don't worry, Paul, right? I was still in Singapore at the time. When you go to Australia, I will have a place ready for you. I read that passage on the 20th of September, 2022. Almost exactly 1 year on. And when I saw that little note on my Bible, a present promise of God with the date, I know you can't see it, but it's right here, right? 24th of September, 2021, all my anxieties went away. I said to Amanda, hey, everything's going to be all right. We're going to settle everything. It's going to be okay. And by the way, for each day you don't settle, for some of you know, what happens? Penalty, interest. You got to pay more money. So you got to get this thing sorted. I saw that and I just felt, again, I felt the Lord say, don't worry, son, it's going to be okay. And as soon as I saw that passage, faith says, before I saw the situation happen, I just started to relax. That moment of relaxing is faith. That moment of believing things will work out, even though things haven't really worked out yet, that's faith. Because I felt like God say, don't worry, son, I've prepared a place for you. Here is my promise 1 year ago. Okay? The next day, 21st of September, 2022, was my 1 year wedding anniversary. And at about 4 p.m., I got the keys. Right? The bank turned it around in 24. It was literally, for Alex, he would know because he works at a bank, they started an entirely new loan from scratch and they got everything done. And that was super top speed. That doesn't happen. And I said to my wife, don't worry, tomorrow we will get the place. Everything will be okay. Do you know what I mean? But I tell you, if you don't journey with this, you're going to be on the phone to, and I was on the phone to the title deeds office. I was on the phone with, I went to see the bank manager, obviously. I was on the phone with Australia Post. Nothing. You would be so anxious, so fearful. Like, I was paralyzed with, like, fear and, like, indecision. What do you do? You know? But when I saw that, I just relaxed and made a few decisions and everything worked out. Okay? All right, so you need the voice of God and you need the we need the will of God for our lives in these major life decisions and these moments to stay calm and, you know, God will help you, okay? Great, okay, and it impacts every, reading the Bible is important because it impacts every part of our lives, okay? It impacts every part of our lives. There was a study done by the Center for Biblical Engagement. They surveyed over 100,000 people. And they said reading the Bible four times a week or more had a staggering impact. Okay, it wasn't two times, it wasn't three times, it was four times or more. And this is what they said. They said that what happened was 30% decrease in loneliness. Okay, there was an impact on their life emotionally. Anger dropped by 32%. Well, I definitely felt an anger drop when I read that Bible verse. I just started to relax. I was like, that was not a good day, okay? But I started to feel okay after that. Bitterness in relationships drops. Has anyone ever felt bitter in a relationship before? With nobody. Wow, you guys are perfect people. Don't worry about bitterness then. You'll never, okay. I've definitely been bitter towards people. I was definitely bitter towards my bank manager, as you could imagine. And I've been bitter and angry, but bitterness drops 40%, okay? And for some of you guys who are in relationships or who get married, you need to make sure your heart is healthy in your marriage. It's very important. If you're in a relationship, learn to deal with your heart. And if you're single, mature in your heart, okay? All right? It will make a big difference. Bitterness drops. Alcoholism drops 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant drops 60%. Watching ungodly things on the internet, okay, drops 50%. Okay? You can take a photo of the stats if you want, or if not, it's fine. Okay? And I'm just saying this is what their research had found. You can find it online if you just Google Center for Biblical Engagement. They've got so many more studies that you could read about. What also they found was sharing your faith increases 200% and discipleship increases 230%. I think when they mean discipleship, it means that you feel like you're growing. I think one of the best mentors you can have in your life is not a pastor, is not somebody. It's actually the Word of God. Now, obviously, having people in your life is good. But seriously, like today I was in a mentoring meeting and like it's really good. And, you know, there were different people from around the world, and it's nice, but it can't compare to being discipled and mentored through the Bible. When I'm reading the Bible and I'm writing my little thoughts and my notes and my little principles and application points, no sermon has compared with that. No, like, you know what I mean? It's like no superstar Christian talking to you has compared with that. This is actually much better. Okay? All right? I've talked a lot, and I've got too many slides. But anyways, I'm going to stop here for a second. And I want you to break up into groups and have a short discussion. Okay? I'll give you 10 minutes and answer some of these questions. What is the greatest challenge when it comes to reading the Bible for you? What would help you get into the habit of reading the Bible more often? Has reading the Bible helped you encounter God, hear the voice of God, and helped you grow spiritually? Okay? And if you're saying, I'm actually not reading it myself, that's okay. Just say, well, I haven't read it, so I don't know if it has helped me. That's fine. Okay? We all start somewhere. Okay? So I'm going to give you a break because I've got so many more slides, but I'm not going to finish them. I'm looking at it's not going to happen today. So I want you to break them into groups and have a discussion. Go through these questions. All right? You can go to your cell groups again. Okay? Sit with your cell groups. Go through these questions. Yes? Okay, great. Your cell groups are up here. Fantastic. That's a lot of people per cell group. If your groups are five people max, okay, answer the questions on the slide, and then I want you to share each group. You're going to share a little bit about what your group talked about. Okay? Great. Yes, Jay, go ahead.
All right. Hey, everyone. So for our group, for the first question, greatest challenge, somewhere along the line of motivation, not finding the time, the drive, laziness, all those kind of things, with an occasional unique one where Jamie's greatest challenge is that reading the Bible soothes her soul into a deep unconscious state.
Sorry, what was that?
It puts her into
unconscious. What was that?
It puts her to sleep.
I'll put you to sleep.
Yeah. So that's the first one. Are we going? Are we doing all?
Just all of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So for the second one, what would help? So general consensus: doing it with others.
Yes.
There's that accountability, and also it's more fun.
Yeah.
Doing it others as well, so it helps encourage that motivation to just read the Bible together as well.
Yeah.
The third one, I think all of us here, yes, like we haven't finished, but all of us here have said yes in some way or form, whether it's reading the verses has been applicable in some areas of our lives, and that helps us to have a new perspective on what it means to live a Christian life and lifestyle. And then we haven't answered the fourth one and the fifth one.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else? Yep.
No, nothing
okay,
else.
Okay, good. Thanks, Jay. Wonderful. Okay, next group. Who wants to go next? Okay, thank you for volunteering, this group.
Yep. I will volunteer for my group.
Yep.
A few things to add on for the greatest challenge. I think for us, a lot of us go through phases where we're quite committed and we have a routine and we're reading the Bible. And then we go through phases where I guess it's not at the forefront of, I guess, our commitment and our time. So I think, that's kind of the big thing for us, where it's we got to get back into the routine and having that routine where it's easy to do and something you stick to every day is can help us get into that habit again. With encountering God and reading the Bible, I think when we are in that phase of reading the Bible and being closer to God, it gives us a better connection with Him. And I think on a day-to-day, with the whole grain analogy, you have more thoughts that are from God, and I think like Bible verses jump out more, and when you encounter stressful moments or problems and whatnot, you turn to God a bit more. So I think that's how I at least feel with my relationship with God and encountering Him and turning towards Him. And we didn't really have the chance to go through the rest of it, but that was, the general gist.
Yep. Good. Thanks. Thanks. Next group. Okay, Marvin, let's go. Yep. Microphone, turn on.
Oh, I see. this usually. So as a group, for our greatest challenges, we were talking about how, especially some books of the Bible, like the genealogy, just names and stuff, a lot of times it's just very hard to like read through it. We found it hard to kind of focus on some things and really like study things. A lot of times, personally as well, I feel like you kind of get into the habit of just reading it, but you don't really like clock it. You're not really thinking about it too much. Yeah. Anything else? No? Yes? Good? Okay. And then we also talked about what would help us. Joel and I were talking about how, like the other said, like reading in a group or with someone else, keeping each other accountable, going through things together. A lot of times I feel like it's just easier to just kind of start. I feel like starting is always the hardest part. And then you kind of get into it after you just start like a sentence or whatever it is. And then for the other three, we're talking about how I think generally you feel closer when you read the Bible more. And then we're talking about how it kind of changes you as your character, I guess, in a way. Some of us felt like we were less angry or we were able to control ourselves better, things like that.
Great, last group.
All right, so greatest challenge was for most of us like interpreting the Bible. Sometimes it can be hard. A lot of weird lingo and stuff like that. The youngins, they said it was like it was a procrastination issue. But yeah. What would help? Getting a study Bible. You know, help you interpret the word a little bit more. Yep. Also, getting a routine. Like reading the Bible, setting a certain time, like first thing in the morning, maybe just before you fall asleep, but don't actually fall asleep. Am I missing anything? No? All right. Encounters with God. I mean, Lois was sharing about how during scriptures, sermons. During sermons, sometimes you'd hear a verse that like really speak out to you. Sometimes, and you'd say, "Oh, that's God like trying to speak to me." Hear the voice of God. Pretty much the same thing. You know, reading the Bible, sermons, and you see like a certain scripture, and like, "Oh God, you're talking to me. I can feel it." And spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. Do we go through this? Hey. Yeah, they're kind of. Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Cool. All right. Great. Thanks. Wonderful. So, some of the things that we shared for question two, which is actually what would help you, is other people and making a decision, etc. And some of the challenges were a bit disengaged, no time distractions, as well as don't know what's going on, right? Yep, okay, so I'm going to continue. I'm going to go through a few more things, and then we're going to try to end today. Okay, so getting started, and some of you guys probably talked about this already, so if you want to get started, and again, the whole heart is to motivate us to action. So getting started, one of the first things you do is actually be intentional on making a decision, okay? So I heard this group talking about, I'm going to call you at 10 p.m., I'm going to call you at 9 o'clock, I'm going to ask you how you're going. That's actually really good, okay? Like, you should find people that would help you keep you accountable, you know, or just help you when you're developing a new habit. And what's even better, actually, is if you're reading the Bible together, saying, hey, we're going to read these two chapters next time we meet, we're going to talk about it, or here are some questions that we'll cover, okay? So that's actually really, really key. So making a key decision, and I hope all of us make some sort of decision, like a concrete decision. You actually write in time and day, like tomorrow I don't know, 10 a.m. at this coffee shop, whatever, right? I think when you write it down, it really highly increases the chance. And if you continue that for like, I don't know, 3 weeks, that might become a habit. But I will tell you this. If you did that every single day for 6 months, you would feel different. I'm just going to be frank with you. If you did that every single day, God, I don't know, whatever time you want, 5 a.m., I wish I could do. I'm not a 5 a.m. guy. Whatever time, and you continue it. What day is it today? Friday, great. Thanks, 27th, 4th, right? You did it for the next every day. And you looked back after 6 months, you were like, oh man, where did all these spiritual muscles come from? Right? Alex actually commented, like, oh, you've been working out, mate? And I was like, next time I'm going to wear a long sleeve t-shirt, you know? But I don't, like, I go to the boxing gym, but I don't lift weights or anything. But I just go to the boxing gym. And then after one session, you don't change for those who go to the gym, right? You look exactly pretty much the same. You go again, you look the same. You continue going for like 4 or 5 years, you look very different. You know, you feel physically different. Okay, oh, actually, you box as well. Yes, we should spar sometime. Anyways, but it's like, it's not exactly the same as going to the gym, but Paul talks about train for godliness in 1 Timothy. It's kind of like exercise. Physical exercise is good for external, but spiritual discipline and exercise is good for all facets of life. That's the idea. So if you kept going to the gym every day for 6 months, I'm telling you, you're going to feel different. You might start off by doing like 3 push-ups today. Tomorrow you do 4. The next day you do 5. 6 months later, you'll be doing 50. No worries. Like, you know, I can't do 50, no worries. But 50, no worries. You're becoming fitter and fitter. So it's like that spiritually as well. You start today, just read 1 chapter or half a chapter. No worries. Start there. You continue going. 6 months later, you will realize, whoa, I've kind of grown and learned a few things. Okay? Make a decision. Secondly, undivided attention. So when you read, don't read being distracted. Don't be playing a game and when you die on CS and then you read a little bit and then you play again, you die and then you read. No, don't do that. Don't just read it when you're on the train. Don't just read it when you're on the bus and do not just read it when you're on the toilet. Don't do it there. I feel like it's like if you honor someone or something, you give that person your undivided attention, you know? And it's not casual, it's kind of serious. So I think it's like that when you're reading the Word of God because God might be saying something to you. And I feel like when your attitude is undivided attention versus casual, if you're casual, I don't feel like you'll get much out of it. Like I just read it, got 3 minutes on the bus. Okay, I'll just read 3 verses, okay, done. It's not going to really do much, I'll just tell you right now. But if you're intentional with, say, 15 minutes, 10 minutes as well. That 10 minutes of focus is much better than 30 minutes neither here nor there, you know. Scrolling Instagram, reading like 2 verses, seeing a verse on Instagram and then whatever, right? It's not going to really do much. But if it's undivided attention, you are positioning yourself to receive and to learn and to grow and to encounter, okay? There's a couple of stories in the Bible about how God waited for people to give them their undivided attention first before he told them what he needed to say. Okay? So with Samuel as well as Moses, God could have downloaded straight away, but he just waited for them to be like, yes, God, what are you saying? Or I'm listening. Or Moses had to turn his face. And then God spoke. All right? Undivided attention. Make sense? All right? Undivided, very important principle. If you want to read the Bible and get something out of it, undivided attention. Undivided attention, You can start with 10 minutes, 5 minutes, doesn't matter about the time. Every day you did it for 6 months, I'm telling you something will happen. In the same way, if you exercised every day for 10 minutes for the next 6 months, you would be much fitter than where you are today. You can't, with doing some sit-ups, some push-ups, some jump rope, whatever you want to do, you will get fitter. It's likewise with the Bible and knowing God, all right? Your soul and your spirit will get fitter and fitter. Cool. Undivided attention is very important. All right, next one, summarize the Bible. So this is something that I encourage everybody to do. This is quite a big step. I'm not saying do that. You must do this, but I'm telling you, this is a shortcut to learning. A shortcut to learning is actually, once you read something, you've digested it, explain it in your own words. Put it into your own words and then explain it to me or explain it to somebody else. For example, today I was studying Ephesians 2. What is Ephesians 2, the first half of Ephesians 2, about? If the first half of Ephesians 2 is about Paul telling the Ephesians, who were really hardcore pagans and occultists, that once they were dead in their sin and they used to follow the devil, but now by grace God has saved them to who they are today. That it is fully by grace so that no person could boast. He didn't just save them, but he raised them up to be seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That's what the first half is about, so that no one can boast. And the purpose of it is so that God could demonstrate the immeasurable riches of his grace and his love towards people. That's what it's about. Make sense? You can read it and check if I'd said it correctly or incorrectly. And if I'm wrong, please send me an email at jamesfood.com@gmail.com. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right, so you can email me. But that's what I mean. I studied it, I thought about it, and I wrote a few notes. I can tell you, I can put it in my own words. That's really hard. So if you can try to summarize it, that would really help you a lot. Okay? Next one is just reflect. Reflect is like you just spend some time thinking some reflection questions. What spoke to me? What did I learn? You can just start there. What spoke to me? What did I learn? What did I learn about God? What did I learn about self? Anything. Really simple. And if you took some notes, whether digital notes or physical notes, if you had a journal and you wrote this stuff down, if you did it every day for 6 months, you would have 83 entries. And you would read it and you'd be like, wow, I've learned so much. Even if you did it for 3 months, 90 plus entries, you would read back and be like, whoa, there's just so much stuff I feel like God has deposited in my heart. Okay, 6 months is a long time. Just aim for 3. You know what? Just aim for 1 month even. 1 month or 3 months, and then just keep going. Cool? All right, so very quickly, getting started, what is that about? Making a decision. Make a decision today. God, for the next so-and-so time, I want to be dedicated into reading and knowing and growing and learning. Okay? Remember, approach the Bible with undivided attention. Just means your focus. Your phone's away, on silent, put it away, and you're just focused. One thing that could shortcut your growth and your learning, summarize it. Try to explain to someone what you read. Put it in your own words. I read this, and this is what I learned. If you can add the bit on this is what I learned, it takes the growing even further. Okay? There are all these little nice sayings I've written down over time that I will pull out because I feel like God taught me it, you know, through the Bible. All right? It really helps you and it helps other people as well. Okay? And finally, just reflect. What did I learn? What can I share? Anything. Write some questions. What did I learn today? Blah, 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 blah. I learned this. That's all. It could be one sentence. It could be one word. It could be one verse. One thought, just write it down. Today, I learned this. Today, Paul told me to read the Bible. I read it. This word spoke to me. Full stop. Good night. Okay? Serious. Just do that. And your soul and your heart begin to be tutored in the things of God, in the ways of God, in the will of God, and what you'll start to notice in your life decisions, your how you minister to people, your spiritual vitality, it just starts to, things start changing. You just, what's going on? Oh, it's the grace of God. It's the power of God. What's going, you know? Okay. This is what God has called us to do and to be. All right? Great. Now, I've got so much more stuff to talk about here. I've got like so many, I've got key barriers that I would cover, five key barriers, and how, and a more detailed way to read the Bible for yourselves and break you up into groups to discuss. I'm going to give you guys a passage to discuss, but since it's 9:30, right, I will do that for the next session. The next session is our United event. I'm going to be talking about living a life empowered by the Holy Spirit, and then I'll come back to this one. All right, we'll make it practical. I'll get you guys to practice reading a passage together in your groups, in small groups, and then sharing your reflection, summarizing what it says. I'll cover some key barriers, and I'll talk in a bit more detail on what you can do practically to read the Bible for yourself. Sound good? And then I've got many more sessions after that. But before I close off and let you guys go, I want you to discuss amongst yourselves, okay, based upon this, getting started. If you're not sure about making a decision, just say, I'm actually not sure. But if you have made a decision saying, you know what, I'm going to start next week or tomorrow or 2 days later, this is what I plan to do. Say it like this. This is what I will do. I'm going to get up tomorrow at 8:30 a.m. and I'm going to read this passage, and I'm going to read two chapters from Matthew 1 and 2. That's it. Be specific. Don't just say, I'll read something. Something will be to flicking around, not showing what to do. Read something. I am going to read Matthew chapter 2 and 3. I'm going to read Psalms 1, 2, and 3. Okay? And then I'm going to summarize some key thoughts on my journal and then write a few reflections, and that will be all. Day one. Make sense? I'm going to give you some time to have a think, have a pause, reflect for yourself first, and make a decision, make a commitment today, and start here. All right? I'll give you guys a moment just to reflect while we have some music playing in the background. Oh, wow. Okay. And then just pray. How about let me pray for us, okay? So we bow our heads and let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word, and we thank you that you desire your people to be transformed and to live fully unto you. Why? Because you called us to be your ambassadors, and you call us to bring your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. But let it start with us. Let the kingdom of God reign in our lives first. And as the kingdom of God reigns in our lives, we will make an impact wherever we go. So God, I just want to pray, Lord, that for some of us here, that today will be a day of small beginnings, a small step. But what matters is not a step, but the continuation or the consistency in those steps. And I ask you, God, that you would give us the strength and wisdom to know you and give you undivided attention and to start growing in you. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to just search our hearts now and start to show us, drop an idea, drop a thought, drop a conviction, drop a book, drop a chapter, and say, this needs to be my priority in life. God, may you convict us. Help us to realize this needs to be my priority in life. And also, Lord, I pray that this would start to form a deep hunger. There would start to grow a deep hunger in my life to know your word this way. And Ryan, I'll give you some time just to reflect and think. You know, God, this is how I will be consistent in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, whenever. But just have some time to reflect and make a decision. Okay, so when you're ready, you can share in your groups again as we come to a close. All right. Share groups, two things. Number one, I'll ask this every time. What was the biggest thing? What was the biggest takeaway today? What was the biggest thing you learned today? What spoke to you today? Just one thing. All right. And then secondly, you can share if you want to make a decision. This is the kind of decision I've made. This time, this place, this passage, and say why you want to do it. Why do I want to do this? Don't just do it for the sake of it, but do it because I want to get up at this time, this place to read because, and then fill in the blank. All right? I'll let you guys discuss that, and then we'll come to a close. Okay? So, yep. So, first thing, share, what did you learn? And then finally, share what decision you've made. And then let them say, oh, can I keep you accountable to that? Can I call you? Can I ask you how you're going? So if you are the group leader, you can say, actually, is it okay if I'm going to just see how you're going? Okay? All right? So I'll give you some time to share that, and then we'll get Pastor James to pray for us to close off. Okay? Cool.